I called Alan this afternoon and I said, I should have done this earlier, but can you add a song? You know, we'll just add it on to what the guy's in the back. And he said, well, what is it? And I said, where could I go but to the Lord? And he said, I already have that plan for tonight. So what is that, providence? I don't know what that is. But anyway, I like that song. Where could I go but to the Lord? Needing seeking a refuge for my soul. Tonight, I pulled out a lesson that my dad preached, I don't know how many years ago. It was back in the day of sheet sermons, and that's a picture of the sheet sermon. I didn't hang it up. You can see all the wrinkles in it and all that kind of thing. But as a boy, I remember Dad doing these on the basement floor with a magic marker. I'm sure, did you ever do any, Rod? Yeah. You know, that's what we didn't have PowerPoint way back in the day. And so, we used chalkboards, and, preachers would do these lessons on a sheet and preach from those. So I'm going to use, one of my dad's lessons tonight and talk about this place of refuge. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, you'll recall the Bible says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. There are over 20 times in the Old Testament where God is specifically said to be our refuge. And what's a refuge mean? What does that look like? Well, you know, the image that I have when I was thinking about this, the image that comes to mind is on 9/11. Maybe many of you remember that morning as we watched the news and all the catastrophe that was taking place. I remember one of the videos, one of the camera persons, was in this as the towers fell, one of them, either the first or the second, I don't remember, but it caused such a rush of wind and debris, and it just turned black, completely black. You would have been enveloped in this, and I don't even know how people breathed in that. But there was a woman when this cloud is just racing down the street, and she steps into this place where a man let her in, a store, and they close the door right as everything turned black on the outside. And I remember that woman laying at that man's feet and saying over and over again, thank you, you saved my life. And it was that urgent. She was in dire's way. She was in harm's way and in dire straits. And she needed a place immediately to find safety. And she found it. We need a refuge for our souls. And if there's anything that I can get across tonight, it's two things. There is a place of refuge, and it's not enough just to know that it's there, but you need to seek it urgently. And those are the two things that I want to get across to you tonight. In my dad's lesson, he talked about some places of refuge that we can read about in the scripture. It's not a foreign concept that there is a place of refuge and that not every place is a place of refuge. We tend to think that God wouldn't limit salvation to a particular place, that anyone, anywhere, anytime, you know, under the, on their own terms can find salvation. But there are places that if you are at, you will be lost. You need to find a place of refuge. And so we have some biblical examples of that. We'll start with the ark. The ark was a place of refuge. If you have your Bible, you might want to open it back to Genesis chapter 6. And you remember the story. The Lord was very displeased with mankind. In fact, he said that every thought and imagination of a man's heart was wicked continuously. Every thought that they had was a wicked thought. But there was Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God came to Noah and he said, Noah, I want you to build an ark for the saving of you and your wife and your children and their wives. And there's an interesting thing that's also taught in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that relates to this story, this account of the flood. We learn from that passage that Noah wasn't just a boat builder, but he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached to the people who were living in his day who were so wicked that God says, I'm through with them. Noah preached, but there came a day when God said to Noah, get in the ark. This is it. And Noah and his family got in the ark, and all those people that Noah had preached to over and over and warned them of a flood that was coming, all those people who ignored him, the masses of people who thought Noah was a nut. You know, who undertakes a task like this? Who wastes all their time and resources in spending their time and effort building a boat? Well, all those people were wrong, and they lost their lives in the flood. Genesis chapter 7, verses 20 through 23 says that everything that drew the breath of air died. Men, women, children, aged, young, everybody died except for those who were in the place of refuge. God always provides, and he provided a place for those who were faithful, for Noah and his family, to ride out this storm and to do so safely. There was the ark. It was the place of refuge that God appointed. And then we can move forward just a little bit in our Bibles, and we can turn to Exodus. I know the outline has, if you're looking at the outline that I put out, I meant to correct that, and I forgot. But Genesis, I said, but it's Exodus chapter 11. There was once refuge in the house of the Israelites. Do you remember God came to Moses and said, go to Pharaoh and tell him to release my people out of a bondage? And he did, and Pharaoh was having nothing of it. So God brought plagues upon the people, 10 of them. And some of them, it must have been miserable to have lived there and to endured all this plague that God brought upon them. But this last plague, the 10th plague, he said, this one is really going to hurt. And there will be wailing and weeping because this one is really going to hurt. And this plague was the death of the firstborn. Everybody in Egypt, in that area, everybody who had or was a firstborn child in their family was going to die that night. But God placed in the home of those Israelites, he made them a place of refuge. He told them, if you will, you know, have this lamb, prepare it, shed the blood of it, put the blood on the doorpost. And there was all kind of requirements in Exodus chapter 12. You know exactly what he told them to do, all the different requirements. But in essence, you know, put the blood on the door and stay inside. Do what I've told you. And he said, I will pass over you when I come to take the firstborn of all the families, even the animals. And that night, there was tremendous sorrow in Egypt. All those people who were firstborn or what, I dare say there's a lot of firstborn people here. I would not have been, but there are a lot of people who were firstborn. You would have died that night had you not been in a home, in one of those homes that had the blood on the doorpost, so that the Lord would pass by. There was a place of refuge that God provided them. We can look forward again, and we turn to Joshua chapter 2, and we read about the taking. You know, the children are coming into the promised land. They're going to start at Jericho, and God told them, I'm going to give you this land. But before Joshua is given his marching orders, they send in two spies. It's kind of interesting. The first time they sent in 12 spies and 10 of them came back with a bad report and only two of them came back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. And so after 40 years and they're going to go try again, you know how many they send in this time? Just two. They send in two spies. We got in trouble with that 10 before or 12 before. We're going to just send two this time. And those two spies got in the city and word got around the spies are in the city and they began to go house from house to house trying to find those Israelites. And they went into a woman, her name was Rahab, and she was a harlot and she hid them and they were able to escape the city. But Rahab said this, I know something about your God and I know that we're in trouble. But will you do me a favor? Since I helped you, will you help me? Will you save me in the day that you all come and take the city? And those two spies made a promise and they said, you put a red cord in your window and you don't leave your house. If you stay in this house, we will assure your safety. And so Rahab got her mother and father and her family and got them together in the house with the cord in the window. And when the Israelites attacked, you remember the walls fell down and they came in and they, in the words of Joshua chapter 6, verse 22 and 25, they utterly destroyed everyone in that city. But there was a place of refuge. God had prepared. They had made a promise and Joshua called for her and her family to come out and she lived with the Israelites the rest of her life. As one who, was a believer in the God of heaven. But outside of Rahab's house, you were going to be destroyed in that. Outside of the Israelites' house with the blood on the doorpost, you were going to lose your life. Outside of the ark, there was no hope. God has provided places of refuge. And then you go forward again and we read in Numbers chapter 35 of cities of refuge. God ordained six cities in Israel, three on each side of the Jordan River. And they were located so that they were conveniently accessed no matter if you were in northern Israel or in southern Israel or in you're in the middle of Israel and on both sides of the river for each one of those. He put six cities and they were known as cities of refuge. And what those cities were about is, let's say, you know, I've got a buddy and we're out working and the head of my axe flies off and hits my friend and kills him. I don't want his family coming after me for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth kind of a thing. And so I had the ability to flee to one of these cities, a city of refuge, plead my case before the judges that were in that city, the Levites, and they would hear my case and say, well, that was purely an accident. You weren't laying in wait. You weren't trying to kill him. That was just totally accidental. And if you stayed in that city, you could be saved from those who might want to kill you because of what the harm you caused their family. Now, Joshua went on to say, or excuse me, the Lord went on to say that if you leave this city of refuge, you're on your own. If that man finds out you're out of the city, he'll come and get you and I'm not going to do anything about it. You better stay in the city. God, even for people who accidentally, now, if you were a murderer and you told what happened, the judge would say, well, you just out and out killed that person. You know, there's no protection for that person. But it was safety for somebody who accidentally killed somebody. Those cities of refuge. Outside, you're going to lose your life or you're going to be pursued by people trying to take your life. Inside, you could live and be safe. Just as throughout the Old Testament, there have been places of refuge that God gave his people, There's this imagery in the New Testament of a place of refuge even for us today. We need refuge. Just as the song said, where could I go but to the Lord? I'm seeking refuge, as the song says, and the only place that refuge can be had and found is in the Lord. And listen, this is where our refuge is today. We don't have to go to a city. We don't have to build an ark. We don't have to put blood on our doorpost. We just turn to Jesus. He is our refuge. Listen to what the Bible says about Jesus and being in him. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. If there is a spiritual blessing to be had, if there is any advantage to being a Christian, anything that you get out of a spiritual blessing, it's in Christ. They're not outside of Christ. If I said I withdrew all my money from the bank, how much more money do I have in the bank? None, because I took it all out. And if all spiritual blessings are in Christ, how many are outside of Christ? What spiritual blessings are to be had outside of Christ? There are none, because they're in Christ. And so I have, and just think about, what are some spiritual blessings? Well, salvation, eternal life, forgiveness. There are all kinds of blessings in Christ, fellowship, but they're in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. In Christ, we're a new creation. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We're not the old person we used to be. I don't think anybody is very comfortable with the idea of standing before God and giving an answer for everything they've ever done. I sure am not. And I know that you feel the same way. But in Christ, we're not that same old man. We are a new creation. And we have that hope in Christ. We are reconciled to God in Jesus. He's our refuge. Romans says that Jesus, through him, we have peace with God. And the reason we have peace with God in Christ is because we lost it because of our sin. We became enemies of God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were his enemy, he gave his son's life for us. And so here we are. We're reconciled to God in Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, prior to that, he's been talking about the reconciliation between Jew and Gentile. And then he says this, oh, and not only do Jew and Gentile get reconciled, but in the church, the one body, through Christ, we are not only reconciled to each other, but we're reconciled to God. It's a place of refuge. I don't have to stand before God as his enemy. I can be reconciled in Christ Jesus, and we're blessed even in death. When we think of death, it's gloom and doom and sadness and dread, and that's just not the way God sees. I know that our temporal perspective, death is like our number one enemy, and we do anything we can to stay away from it, but God didn't view physical death as if that's the end all. It's important, but it's not all important. What's more important is being faithful. And in Romans chapter, or Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, we're told that those who die in the Lord are free from their labors and they can rest. But it's in the Lord again. So do you see all these blessings, this place of refuge that's in Christ? In Christ, we have all spiritual blessings. We're a new creation. We're reconciled to God, and we can die and be okay. What would you give for that? Well, that's really good news. If God built an ark, I'd need to get in the ark. If God set salvation in a house, I'd need to get in the house. If salvation was in a city, I'd need to get in the city. And now we're told all these spiritual blessings and dying in Christ is really important. How do I get in Christ? I mean, that's a concept. It's an abstract concept. It's not concrete. Like, how do I get in Christ? I don't literally do that. What's the process? What's it look like? Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll close the lesson with this. In Galatians chapter 3, if I can get my page turned, Galatians chapter 3, verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for faith, which would after be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do you get in Christ? Well, right there's your answer. We are baptized into Christ. And so if you're here tonight and you need refuge, I want you to understand two things. You need refuge and you need it urgently. We don't know how long we have. We don't know what our future holds. I had a good friend. He's a preacher friend of mine and he was doing fine. And, do you remember when, that West Nile virus was going around? My friend contracted that West Nile virus, and he was preaching in Mayfield, Kentucky at the time. And he said, you know, I was feeling a little weak that day, and I laid down on the couch, and the next thing I knew, it was like 3 weeks later, and I was regaining my awareness of where I was and who I was and that I was even alive. It took him like that. Fortunately, he survived. But there are 1,001 other ways that can take your life like that and you'll be facing the judgment. We can't dilly-dally when we need refuge. We need to be like that woman and throw ourselves at the feet of God and thank Him for saving our souls. If you have not been baptized into Christ yet, you need to get in Him. Where all those blessings are and where you can have refuge for your soul. If you're already in Christ, maybe you've made the mistake that apparently God thought some would make in the Old Testament, is you get in the city of refuge and you're safe, but for whatever reason you decide to leave. You go out. Now you're in jeopardy again. There are people who obey the gospel and they enter Christ, but then they leave. Maybe it's the cares of the world. Maybe it's the joys and the pleasure of sin. There are 1,000 reasons. Maybe somebody just gets their feelings hurt and they get a little miffed at people because, you know, their pride is involved. There are 1,000 reasons why people leave after they have come to a place of refuge. Maybe there's someone here tonight who may be on the outside. Oh yeah, I obeyed the gospel, but I have not been living right. I have separated myself from Jesus. Then you, just like the person who's never been baptized, you need to get back into this place of refuge. Now here's what God tells us to do. If you've never been a Christian, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, you will be put in Christ, forgiven of your sins. You become a new person and a hope of heaven. And if you're already a child of God, but you've wandered from it, like Simon in Acts chapter 8, you can repent, decide, man, this is dumb. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm jeopardizing my soul. You can repent of your sin and pray, and God will be faithful to forgive you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement here in just a minute. And if you find yourself in need of refuge, don't wait till next week. Don't wait till your parents, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles can be there to witness whatever it is that you need to do. Do it now. Too much is at stake. If you're here tonight and you need to respond, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.